I want to talk to you. I really want to talk to you this morning about all things are possible to them that believe. But I want to do it from a conventional standpoint. And I know this from this morning, there's a prophetic thing in my belly. So we're just going to get what we can get. But what I came to talk about is all things are possible to him that believe. And God began to stir me. This word came to me in November as a reproof. You know, I was in my prayer chamber when God said all things are possible to them that reproof. Oh, man, I grabbed my manual. I'm finna write this down. This is going to be good. And he said, all things are possible to him that believe is not a cliche. It has become a popular sermon title or a good conversation piece among my people. That was sounding good until he said, even you. Then I was like, well, Lord, now listen. He said, even you have. And you know what? He was right. I have preached this topic every year that I've been preaching for 35 years. And it's always different. It always grows. He said, but son, you got to see it as Jesus speaking to you, not to the father of a tormented child. And you got to see him speaking it to you every day in every situation. Everything he tells you to do that you do not have the personnel. You do not have the resources. You do not have the skill, income, ability to do. You still, your answer still got to be yes, Lord, because all things are possible to him that believes. So we got to get a hold of this and understand that. So let me take you to Psalms 89 so I can kind of show you, amen. First of all, if it's him that believes, I got to do more than believe in me. I got to believe the God that's telling me to do the stuff. Or the thing that he's telling me to do, I can't afford to do. The thing that he's telling me to do, I don't know how to do. The thing that he's telling me to do, I don't have the personal ability, experience, and wherewithal to get done. So my answer may be tainted by my view of my ability, then instead of being strengthened by my view of his ability. And then the second thing I got to have a confident expectation, understand that I do hear his voice, that it is him that's talking. Because now I go to wonder, well, Lord, if that's you, I'd be like Gideon. If that's you, let Brother Jerry call me and tell me. And then Brother Jerry was already calling me anyway because I was on his heart. And go, Brother Leonard, you just on my heart today. And I just wanted to call you and tell you I love you. And he hangs up. And I said, now, Lord, I thank you for that. But now, if that really was you, let Brother Earl call me. And he just happened to be in Little Rock. And he said, Brother Ford, my wife and I was in Little Rock. We want to know if you and Sister Jessie was able to go to dinner. Now, I take those two phone calls as a confirmation. How many know that was not supernatural? And we can't be led by stuff like that. Yeah. We ought to be in Psalms 89 right now, right? Everybody part of there but me. Psalms 89 and verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. This is God talking about David. I know I got you in the middle of the Psalms. Watch verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. God said, if I said it, I'm not going to modify it. I'm not going to alter it. And guess what else he told us in Isaiah? My word shall not return unto me void. It's not going to come back empty and unproductive. He said, but if I speak a thing out of my lips to you, I don't care what it sounds like when it hits your ear. Amen. That's my will. That's my plan. That's my goal. That's my objective for you. And it's possible, but only if you can believe. Watch the next verse. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Now, how many know you can take David out and put Leonard in there, put Earl in there, put Jerry in there, put Stephen, whatever your name is. If God won't lie to one, he won't lie to another. Mm-hmm. Now, let's look at the book of Titus. Let's look at the little book of Titus, chapter 1. I'm just trying to show you the integrity of the person that's speaking to us. I'm showing you his integrity because you've already heard about his ability. Titus, chapter 1. We're just going straight to verse 2. You know how to put that in context. In hope of eternal life, which who? God that what? Cannot. Notice it did not say that does not. He didn't say that will not, but he what? Cannot. It is impossible for God to lie. So if God says you the man, then you are the man. If God says you the one I've chosen to do this and you can get it done, then you can get it done. You looking in the mirror saying you sound like Gideon. Numbers 23. I could be quoting these to you, but I want you, I think it's time for us to look at the Bible again. I don't think we look at it enough. We got to begin to look at our word again and begin to meditate upon this word. God told me a couple of years ago that the missing factor with the believer is meditation. You got to begin to meditate upon the word of God again. We finally start believing that I better confess a thing. But he said, you're trying to confess something that you ain't got faith to believe. You confess it because you want it. Verse 19, Numbers 23. I know most of y'all knew where I was going. Numbers 23:19. Balaam said, God is not a man that what? That he should lie. Now, okay, now one done told us that he cannot lie. If I went to John 17, Jesus said his word is T-R-U-T-H. His word ain't just true, it's truth. And then he said, he's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should change his mind. Come on here. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God is able. God's got the power. God's got the integrity. God told Jeremiah, I hasten, which means to look over and to look for. I watch for my word, and I watch over my word to bring it to pass. And God began to speak to us to do a thing, and yet we draw back. But God told me, whenever I speak to you, amen, your first mode of operation should not be, amen, to check your bank account. Your first mode of operation should not be to call a staff meeting and see who on the staff has this particular expertise. Your first response should be, yes, Lord. Now tell me how to do it, when to get it done, where to, who to start with. But the first response, see, because the first response really sets the tone. If you say, Lord, I don't know about that, it's going to be a while. Because you know what you just did? You just prevented God from putting people in your pathway that wasn't there to help you get it done. You just prevented Aaron and Hur from coming along and holding your hands up. How many know Aaron and Hur were there all the time? Moses didn't summon them. They saw what Moses was doing on the mountain and saw the results in the valley and said, hey, let's get up in here. Let's make this thing perpetual. Let's make it consistent. How'd they do it? Just by getting up under him. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's go where y'all thought I was going in the beginning. Mark chapter 9. You know, that's the thing about us. Sometimes our present knowledge can hinder us from learning. Mark chapter 9. We want to go to verse 20. I'm still not satisfied with these floor monitors. Y'all got me in a little strain. That's where I'm at. I'm really ready to run with this thing. Mark 9. Now Jesus came, been on the mountain praying. Transfiguration takes place. He comes down. And so I'm skipping all that. Y'all know the story. And in verse 23, amen. Verse 22, I want you to catch that. He said, cast him into the fire to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Help us, amen, based on your compassion for us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Now verse 22, the man is really just saying, Lord, if you compassion, if you feel me, help me. And a lot of us today want to, well, if God really loved me, why don't he just do this? God's system don't work by that. The Bible says he got things in store for them that love him. He didn't say for them he loved. Come on. You got to learn how to love God. If you really love God, why don't you obey him and do what he told you to do with your personal consecration? Well, we didn't got past keeping the commandments of holiness. I'm talking about God told you to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you don't get up to 4:45. Come on. God told you. So we got to get in a position where we begin to flow with him. Now, watch this. He said, now, Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion. Fill our need and just meet it. And if God is so good, sound like O'Gideon, don't it? Mighty man of valor. Well, if God is with me, why is all this befalling me? And where be all them miracles? Like, if God that good, he ought to just do some stuff. And that seemed to be the attitude today when the Bible says the just shall live by his faith. You got to understand that. So watch this. When God told David, go down to Jesse's house and anoint a king, don't you think God knew who he was going to anoint? Why didn't he say, go down there and anoint a little Earl? No, you got to walk by faith. Go down there. Just go down there and I'll lead you. He couldn't walk by sight because the man got 8 sons and 7 of them already walked by. And he's like, Lord, you must have another son because the Holy Ghost ain't told me nothing about these 7. But I know I heard him say, come here and anoint one. You mean him? Well, yeah, we got another one out there. I just want you to know God will use you the least likely, the least expected, the one who nobody else thinks will be the one. That's the one God said, yeah, you got what it takes. Come on, all you need now is an impartation from God and anointing to come on your life. Okay, watch this now. He says, if thou canst believe all, things are possible, can be done, can happen, can manifest, can be brought into existence to him that believer, him that trusts, him that adheres to, him that leans totally on God's ability and not his own, him that believes, leans totally on the guidance of God. Watch this now. And straightway, quickly, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thy my unbelief. Your faith may need an aid. The man said, I believe. How many know? Now, he's got to have an avenue of faith. But now, if you go back a few verses, when they came to him and said, my son is messed up, first thing Jesus said was, oh, faithless and perverse generation. Your faith is deficient, and you've gone away from God's purpose, plan, and power. But yet, how long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. And when they brought him to him, then the man says, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe that faith is in your heart, like the Bible says. And I believe the man had to believe, or he wouldn't have brought his boy to the disciples. But you know how it is. Every time you have a faith failure, it seems to diminish your confidence. I heard about these men had this crusade. They had this oil bottle. It was pouring oil on folks, and demons was coming out. I brought my boy to them men. All nine of them prayed, and he still messed up. So you they teacher, if you can do anything, you help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, Lord, I do believe. That's why I'm here. Lord, I believe. That's why I'm asking for prayer. Lord, I believe. That's why I'm in the prayer line. But you got to help. I'm waving. How many know a double-minded man ain't going to get nothing? Real faith is working in my heart. Ah, y'all just messing with me. Stop seesawing my volume. Leave me in one spot, will you? Hallelujah. And I want you to know, all of a sudden, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, and he told me that morning in prayer, all things are possible to them that believe. If you can believe it, you got to begin to put your confidence in God. You got to let the devil know, I believe God. Now watch this. Let me just take you through a few scriptures to kind of get you to see what I'm talking about. Mark 11 and 22. Mark 11 and 22 is a very familiar passage of scripture for us. Jesus answering said unto them, what? Have faith in God. Have confidence. Don't just have faith in your faith. Don't just have faith in your people. Have faith in God. You got to have faith in God. Jesus had spoke to a tree. The tree had withered. And when Peter saw it the next day, 24 hours later, now he bug out. Jesus said, man, I knew that when I spoke to the thing. I already saw it done before I spoke. I believe. He said, have faith in God. For verily, truly, honestly, with integrity, I say unto you that whosoever shall say, watch this, not about, but unto this situation. When the man or woman of God hears from God, that's vision. Reason is corazon. It's a revelation from God. And they bring it to the congregation. And the first thing we say is, I don't see how we gonna do that. Then we need to get in prayer. So I'm meditating. Because if God says it, it's not negotiable. Whether or not we do it is not negotiable. Now how we do it, the timing we act on it, some of those things we may need to sit down and plan. But the fact is, God said do this and we gonna do it. But we gotta receive it with an urgency and not say, well, we'll start doing that in 2030. Now we got to hear from God. God saying do a thing. He's got a purpose and we got to make a decision. We're going to do this. Well, pastor, our present income, God knew that when he spoke to me. Don't bring none of that up. God already knew all that, and in spite of that, God said do this. Be thou, say to the mountain, stop talking about the mountain, be thou cast into the sea. And have you ever thought about that? Let's just say the man of God brings you a vision, and the vision takes $1.2 million. And you say, how in the world in Camden, Arkansas, are we going to do this? And people leaving the city. Don't you know 2,000 folk already moved out of Camden, and ain't too many jobs around here? And plus that, I'm already 59 and a half years old, and I ain't got but a few more years of work. I'm planning my retirement. Pastor, I just don't see how. Shut up, please. No, what you need to do is begin to speak to the deficit, tell the deficit, tell the lack, all right, then you need to be removed now, and then speak to the 1.2 million and say, all right, come now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you. I summon you for this purpose. I command you to come with a tag on you, identifying why you're here when you come, whether you come in a lump sum or in increments, whether you come sporadically or in a stream. I summon you, and then, Father, show me my part of it. Thank God for the three people that believe what I'm talking about. Watch this. Now, when you say this thing, you can't just be a parrot. He said, and shall not doubt where? In his heart, in his spirit, in his core being, in his inner man, that the thing that he said out of his own mouth shall come to pass. That's what's wrong with us. We say stuff we don't even believe. We're not even persuaded yet. he shall have whatsoever he saith. And I found out sometimes when the anointing is on you, you pray one thing, and then when you get out of that anointing, you say something else, but you're going to have what you say. Say what you will, say what you may. Your life is a summation of your real conversation. Yeah. I know how you talk around a believer. I know how you talk around the folk that you think believe this stuff. But when you get around with your boys and the other folk, I'm just going to be real. I'm just real. I'm just too real. Yeah, you real dumb because you don't understand how faith works. And you really trapping yourself by saying foolishness and justifying it with, I'm just being real. I'm just being real. You just really being robbed of what God has provided for you, because it takes real faith to get a real manifestation after God has visited you and told you a thing. Therefore, verse 24 says, therefore, the conjunction, right? Y'all used to watch Sesame Street, junction, wish you function. Come on, it's drawing this thing together. It's bringing me to a place where if I'll just understand, all I've got to do, amen, is what preceded the therefore. Therefore, based on this principle of believing in my heart, speaking to the situation, and not doubting in my heart, and believe that I shall receive whatsoever I say, therefore, I say something. So now I'm speaking based out of understanding. I'm not speaking from speculation. I understand the principle of God. I understand how the kingdom works. I understand kingdom operation. And I'm speaking from there. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever what you desire when you pray, when you fellowship, when you commune with God. He's talking about words. So this ain't no meditative prayer. This is a vocal, verbal, pronounced, expressed supplication to God. A petition that's granted, that's made. And he said in John chapter 5, for 1 John 5, he said, if you ask anything according to my will, then you know that I hear you. And if you know that I hear you, then you know that your petition is granted. Well, if God told me to do it, then I know it's his will. So when I start talking to him, I don't have to doubt and wonder and waver and guess, because I know you hear me talking to him, because I'm talking to him about what he's talking to me about. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't convinced yet. Luke chapter 1. I'm still trying to show you all things are possible, but only to him that believes. See, we got a lot of folk now who are mentally assented. They say they believe when ain't no pressure. Put a little squeeze them, you'll find out what they believe, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. I know you've been saved 42 years, but bless God, you're still full of tradition, doubt, and unbelief. You just go around, you got a conversation, but hallelujah, it's time for us to understand God is a God that's looking for consummation, because he said, my words shall not return void. Luke chapter 1, verse 30, and the angel said unto her, talking about, y'all know the story, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, if I call you out and prophesy to you, you're going to have a baby, and you got a husband, and y'all been believing God for a baby, you all excited. But if I call you out, talking about you finna have a baby and you ain't, I'm engaged to a real good man and I ain't about to mess that up. And plus the fact that my hymen is still in place. So how this gonna happen? This ain't doubt. This, I need some understanding. Bring me some understanding. Bring me some knowledge here. I'm a Jew girl. I know what Isaiah prophesied, but I need an explanation. Verse 35. Verse 34, then said Mary to the angel, how should this be? How should this be? Seeing, understanding, knowing, I don't know a man. I've never engaged in copulation. I have never been intimate with a man. There's no intercourse going on in my life. I am engaged, but it's a few months off here. So tell me how this is going to come to pass. And the angel answered and said, thank God for dialogue. And the answer said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the what? The very power, the ability, the anointing, the might of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, in other words, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, when this anointing comes on you, hallelujah, it's going to do this work. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In other words, he just let her understand, when this power comes on you, that's where conception is going to take place. Can I tell you that her next response to what he says is the real deal sealer? Because I don't care how much anointing is on you, if you're fearful, even the anointing can't put you over. I don't care how strong your anointing is, you got to come to the place where you trust God enough to act like you anointed. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Let me tell you what it didn't say. For God nothing shall be impossible. It said for what? For with God all things are possible to him that believes. So I got to hook up my faith with God and his ability. For with God all things are possible. It didn't say for God all things are possible. And that's how I know God can do anything. Whatever God do, amen, he able to do it. No. He said with God all things are possible. Put your hands together for the saints from Little Rock. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to what? Verse 38, be it unto me according to what? According to what? What you just said. Be it unto me, not according to my ability. Not unto that word. I understand what you said. Now, I don't understand all the dynamics behind it, but I heard what you said, and I'm going to put myself in agreement with your word. I comply with your word. I choose to believe you ain't lying to me. If we can ever choose to believe that God's not lying to us, that what God said, he going to do. If we can ever choose to believe that, things going to change. Chapter 18 and verse 27. I want you to understand, with God, all things are possible. Not for God. And too many times we just waiting on God. Well, God, in his own good time, and God's going to do it. When God showed up and started talking to you, his time clock started right then. He hit the go button on the clock. Then he hit the start button on his watch. And he said, John chapter 18, verse 27. Luke 18, 27. And he said, the things which are what? Impossible with men are what? Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say possible for God, does it? It says possible with God. You got to hook up with God. All things are possible to him that believe, but who am I believing? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. You got to understand what I'm trying to tell you. It's God looking for a people that's going to hook up with his word. You remember the centurion came to Jesus. He did what he sent somebody to Jesus and told them, amen, he had a need of a servant being healed. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. He said, I ain't worthy for you to come under my roof. He said, but I understand authority. He said, I'm a man under authority. See, I'm submitted to authority, but they also put me in authority. So I got soldiers up under me. Hallelujah. When my sergeant speaks, hallelujah, I respond. So when I speak, my privates respond. So Lord, if you just speak the word only, my servant gonna be healed. Watch this. Your servant ain't even present. And how many know Jesus is not gonna talk to the servant? He's gonna talk to the sickness. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, for where you are right here, you can speak to the mountain. You can speak to the disease. You can speak to cerebral palsy and tell it to loose my servant, and he shall be healed. Because when I tell a man to go, he go. When I tell one to come, he come. But when you tell disease to go, it's going to go. Well, can I tell you the truth? As the Bible said in Deuteronomy 28, that God will command the blessing upon you in your storehouse. If God can speak to disease and disease to leave, he can speak to money and money will come to your house. I came to tell you, he can speak to PhDs and they'll come to you with your GED and submit to thee, because God has raised you up. But you got to understand, I'm talking about all things are possible to him that believes. Y'all in Romans 10? Verse 10. For with the heart, for with the what? And we said in Mark, shall not doubt where? In his heart. Why? Because with the heart is where you believe. Faith is in the heart. Faith is not a head thing. And we so busy being educated, we got to be analytical and understanding. If I can wrap my mind around it, I can walk in it. If I can't wrap my mind around it, I can't get it done. I came to tell you, God ain't talking to your head. He's talking to your heart. And whether you got to believe this thing in your heart, because why are you trying to convince your mind? Remember, that's where your imaginations are. The devil going to play games. That's where your reasoning facilities are. The devil's going to play games. That's where you get analytical. The devil's going to play games. He's going to beat you at the mind game. Why? Because you carnal minded. I know you didn't like that, but that's okay. For with the heart, man, what? Believeth, brethren, continues unto what? Righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. Well, can I tell you, amen, I know right here he's talking specifically about salvation, but can I tell you, this is a universal kingdom principle. Everything in the kingdom that you're going to receive, you receive it by faith. So with the heart you believe unto, and with the mouth confession is made unto. With, you got to believe it in your heart, and before you can, listen, if it ain't in your heart, it don't work in your mouth, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. But can I tell you a secret ingredient that's missing? And that's meditation. Because when you look up meditation, it means more than contemplating. It means more than setting your mind on. It means to speak to yourself in order to persuade yourself that what you're saying to yourself is real for yourself. And you got to talk to yourself until you persuade yourself that what you just said to yourself is for yourself. And God has spoken it. And you got to speak it into you until you get your heart so full of it that when I squeeze you, it comes out when you're not thinking about it. Because it's on deposit, and that's the only way it's going to happen. And that's why we think we in faith and we in mental ascent. We think we in faith because I said the right thing for 2 weeks. Yeah, because wasn't no pressure on you. But when you went to the doctor and he said you went from stage four and it's a jump stage four now, and now you say, oh Lord, I just give up. What you giving up for? Then you see, I'm trying to tell you, we got to meditate this word and stop pimping ourselves out like we already there. Put your pride down. Stop justifying yourself and realize I got to bring it up. Verse 11. For the what? The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, what? Shall not be ashamed, shall not be put to nothing, shall not be disappointed. But he said the key is, you got to believe. Now, don't be telling me you believe. You got to believe. And we're not believing. Watch verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved, rescued, delivered. Watch verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him and of whom they have not heard? Now, this is what I want today, because I ain't talking salvation today. So I want to take the preacher out of the equation for a minute. How can I call if I don't believe? And how can I believe if I don't hear? So then, verse 17, so then faith, confidence come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How much word of God are you hearing out your own mouth? How much word of God are you speaking to yourself through meditation? I'm not talking about preaching right now. When you speak the word to yourself in meditation, you hear it, because it goes in your inner ear down in your spirit. And the more you say that word to the woman in the mirror, the more you speak that word to the man in the mirror, the more you hear it. And every time you hear it, faith cometh by hearing. Faith is on the way. So we got to expand our ability and capacity for faith, because with the Bible, we start out on believing. Now we're at the point of faith. So believing is my capacity. Faith is the confidence to act on what I say I believe. But I got to understand it only come by hearing. And I got to hear the word and 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 then adhere to the word and adhere to the word and hear the word and adhere to the word, hear the word, act on the word, hear the word, act on the word. Then all of a sudden I get so full of the word, I go public. Now I come out the private prayer closet and I go public and I start confessing the word, declaring the word, decreeing the word. But now I'm so convinced, when you look at me like I'm Godzilla's cousin, you don't move me because I'm convinced now. I'm fully persuaded like Abraham. In other words, I cannot see any way Sarah can't get pregnant, because God said a thing. 25 years it took me to get here, but now I'm here and I believe that I receive. So when I go in the house tonight, hallelujah, I'm not putting on no pajamas, come on now, because I believe I got a word from God. And Sarah ain't wearing no house coat to bed tonight. It's negligee time. Why? Because now faith has come. I know I lost y'all right there. I felt that disconnect. That's all right. Well, some of y'all stay with me. That's them. I guess them the ones I need right there. Huh? But I want you to bag up to verse 16, because I just felt a disconnect. Let me go and put verse 16. I was trying to skip that, but y'all messing with me now. So, but they have not all what? See, I skipped the verse to talk about hearing it. But he says, see, a lot of us have heard it, but we have not what? Obeyed it. And so he asked a question. Who have what? I said, if you hook that verse up right, what he's saying, Brother Steve, since you're not doing it, do you really believe it? Since they haven't all obeyed it, who believe the report? I believe the one that do it is the one that believe it. See, because folks will tell you, that's the Bible. You in Bible territory. I believe the Bible. I ain't going to argue with the Bible, but yet you don't do it. No, all I got to do is mention tithing. Yeah, amen. It's in the book. You don't do it. See how quiet you get? Yeah, see, no. He said, who believe the report? Mm-hmm. Verse 17, so then, faith come up by hearing, and hearing how? By the word of God. So we saw Titus say he can't lie. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse Hebrews 6 and 18. I'm gonna give you, because I'm still trying to work with God's integrity. Let you understand, God don't lie. God can't lie. God don't even modify. He don't alter the thing that goes out of his lip. We just read it in Psalms 89:33-35. God said, I don't lie to David. I don't alter what goes out of my mouth. That's why I'm trying to tell you, when God calls you, he don't change his mind. Hebrews 6 and 18. That by two immutable things. That's the blood and the broken body of Jesus, but I ain't got time to get into that one. In which it was what? Impossible for God to do what? And that gives us a what? Strong consolation. Listen, he cannot lie. His word is truth. And now it's impossible for God to lie. Do you know how much power that puts in his word? He upholds all things by the word of his power. That means that if God says today, Saturday, the clock going to roll back. He cannot lie. Whatever he says, amen. If you bring your cat in here, if God say dog, me and I are going to turn the roof. Book is going to change because his word is so potent and powerful. And we got to understand, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is what? The power of God unto salvation to who? Everyone that believeth. But most of us don't know what the next verse says. Romans 1 and 17 says that we, amen, righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. If righteousness is my standing with God, it's revealed at every level of faith. When my faith goes up, I'm going to see some more privileges that I got from God that I don't see right now because this level of faith got me stuck. I can't see no way I can do that. God said, get your faith up and I'm going to show you. So the righteousness was already there, but it's only revealed from one level of faith to the next. Every time I step up in faith, I see some more rights and privileges that belong to me as being a child of God, as being a son of God. Do you understand? We're in a time now. Go to Hebrews 6. I know you know what I'm reading today. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We got to understand that God is looking for a people that believe. But without what? Faith. Total confidence in God. Total reliance on God. It is impossible. It is what? Impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God, what? Must believe that he is. And let me say this. Believe that he real. Believe that he is interested in you. Believe that he is talking to you. You're not in the closet tripping. That's God that's talking to you and telling you, amen, that you're going to be the one that's going to go around the world. You mean out of Washita County? But God, you know, I'm really from Cheddarson. Ain't nothing good came out of Cheddarson. Lord, I must be tripping. Maybe I watched Joyce Meyer too long. See what we talk ourselves out of. I believe God raised up folk like Sister Joyce because she's so transparent. She can tell you, I came from deeper down the gutter than you did. I came out of family drama. You talking about dysfunctional. But Joyce let you know, but look at me now. See, you got to understand, your past does not stop your history. Your past don't define you. Your revelation of righteousness in God, who you are in Christ, defines you. I don't care what you've been through. God's concerned about where you're going. He talks about where I'm going to take you. He don't talk to you about your past. He talks to you about your future. God don't even deal with you about your present. You know, when Gideon came to God, he said, I mighty man of valor, go in your might. Gideon tell him how weak he is. He said, go in your might and deliver Israel. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. I'm trying to get you to understand that all things can be done. All things are attainable. All things are possible to him that believeth. And we got to get our believing level up. The Bible says, verse 13, we having the what? Not the same word of faith, but the same what? Spirit of faith, the attitude of faith, the disposition of faith. We got to come to that place where we embody faith. According as it is written, and it's got to be word-based, not opinion-based. Because you got folk to tell you, I know the word says that, but what? You finna trump the word now? Well, see, brother, I've been in this thing 42 years, and in my 42 years, your 42 years does not trump the word. You're 42 years and you've never seen this. Tell me you ain't been believing. You just been saying that you do. Now, see how quiet you got? That's all right. I go on this side and talk to the folk that believe. No, your 42 years don't trump the word of God. The word of God is the final authority. And if you're not getting the results, it is not based on whether you got results or not. It's based on the word. Whether or not you get healed don't mean God not a healer. I don't care how long you say you've been believing for healing. God is still a healer. And there's folks in the last 42 years that have been receiving their healing and testifying while you trying to justify why you not healed. And at the end of the day, it's not because it's not God's will. You just ain't in the spot you want to be in. And you got to self-justify yourself because you just can't seem to admit it that you missed it somewhere. I know y'all love me. Watch this. As it is written, I what? I what? I believed according to what was written. My faith confirmation was established on it was written. If it ain't written, I ain't got no business believing. Now watch what Paul said here. He quit reading the scripture. And therefore have I spoken. According to this written, I believed. So the basis for speaking was fully persuaded. I didn't speak to convince. I spoke because I was convinced. I totally believe, therefore have I spoken. In other words, I did not open my mouth until I was convinced. And we open our mouth and we're not convinced yet. We open our mouth and we ain't believed it yet. You got to, I'm talking about public. You don't go public until you persuaded. Because if you go public and you ain't fully persuaded, I can talk you out of it. You know when you first got saved and you went told somebody you were saved, when they got through to you back in the club, took you a while. When I came out that room saved, I wasn't asking no questions. Huh? I was telling folks, I'm saved. Hide and watch, I'm saved. I was saved the next day. Fast forward, I've been saved for the last 35. I might well stay for 35 more. What am I trying to get you to understand? You get this thing done, and it's a done deal, and can't nobody talk you out of it. That's why it's got to be word-based, because the same way you got some folks stuck on their opinion, and can't nobody talk them out of it. They're going to die wrong. You think I'm lying? I know a bishop. He in heaven now. I hope. He told somebody told him about spirit, soul, and body. He said, boy, I've been preaching body and soul 25 years. I ain't finna change now. Now, that ain't biblical. But that was bishop. And he believed it and preached it. That's pride. That's being unteachable. Because you a bishop, your position. I don't care what your title, you better stay teachable. Watch this. Now, that's a colon, not a period. We also what? And let me add this. We also believe as it is written. And no, we also just believe. We got to be believing as it's written. And therefore we speak. You see, we speak because we believe what's written. And so many times we speak it, but the basis for speaking is believing. And the basis for believing is hearing. And the basis for hearing is the word of God, not your favorite preacher, not your philosopher. See, that's why folks right now in the 21st century are leaving the Bible and jumping onto some trash. Talking about they got the manuscripts older than the Bible. Really, you don't. You just got some of that they found. The word of God came out of God. Now, how you going to get some older than that? But the thing is that they're going back to these writings that these demons have pulled up and given to people, and then they're going to justify them because they all got a little bit of morality in them. Yeah, but nobody living by them, because every other organization I know is full of immorality. But yet the Bible sets the precedent, and the Bible is the truth, and the Bible changes laws and customs. But we are trying to leave the word. But I'm not shocked, because the Bible tells me in the last day the Spirit spoke expressly that many are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctors of demons. Now, I know we got the theological debate. If once a man say to thee, always say, but your Bible clearly tells you they were in the faith, but they left the faith when they gave heed to seducing spirits and doctors of demons. They didn't just quit one day. It was a process that persuaded them to make the wrong decision. We got to know whether or not it's possible for me. It's not based on my ability. It's not based on my education. It's not based on my knowledge. All things are possible to them that believe. When God speaks to you and tell you that your little snow cone stand is about to become a snow cone franchise, don't be quizzing God by now. Lord, if you do that, I know you, God. It'll take God to do that. Like something too hard for God. Like you're going to sit down and wait for it to happen, though. No, God, you got a part to play. God is not going to open up your stand tomorrow and go run your stand and draw everybody past by the end of it. You ain't in there. You show up and God say, here's today's till. We did good today. No, we didn't do good. Y'all know. What's wrong with us? I don't really have time for that. I want to take y'all to the 7th chapter of Judges, but we don't have time. But I'm going to just talk to you for a minute. Here's a challenge for you. When God tells you to do a thing. Stephen, do you know how many seats in this auditorium? 500 seats. Okay. If God tells you to do a thing, and it's going to cost I'll just stop at 500,000. And it's 500 seats in here, and you got 500 warm bodies in the seat, and everybody in the seat is working. Here's how you go, okay, God, now if you can get everybody in here to give 1,000, we can get that done. But here's what happens. When you stand up and say, God told us to do this, and you better not give him a time frame. And God said he want this done by February next year. And so what I need is over and above your regular tithes and offerings. I need everybody in here to make a $1,000 pledge. And the ushers got pledge cards, and they're going to ring them out. I want you to sign them, and we're going to have them in prayer, and we're going to pray over them until your money comes in. Next Sunday, it'll be about 30 empty seats. And you talk about it again, then the next Sunday, you'll be down to 500 seats and 400 bodies. Now watch this. But in February next year, when you get it done, in March, when you do dedication, them other 60 bodies show back up. Another 100 bodies show back up. Look what we did. Our church did it. Our church. You've been AWOL. You've been AWOL for 13 months, and you're going to pop up here talking about our church. I'll preach it next service. Let's just go on. Come on. Here's what I need to do. I told you I had something that was prophetic in my belly. I need the entrepreneurs to come to the altar, but don't come right now. I ain't talked to Brother Stephen. I ain't talked to Brother Jerry. This is 4 o'clock this morning. I got up 4:17. I was praying in tongues. 4:57. The Holy Spirit started talking to me. He told me to challenge you, a part of this body, to make a commitment to sow over and above your regular tithes and offerings a $1,000 seed for the next 3 years. That's $1,000 a year. Over and above. Do not diminish the economy in the church by shuffling money you was already giving. Sow an additional $1,000 over what you've been sowing. Your regular tithes and offerings should not diminish, and you should be believing God. And here's what God told me, because I was going to say, even if you had to have a bank shelf, God said, don't do that. He said, they change kingdoms, let them change systems. Amen. Believe God. Put your faith out. Now, you might not. I think I got permission to say this. Now, you might fast a meal or two and get that meal money that you've been. I ain't put you on no diet. No, but he told me to challenge you to sow. Now, you know, we could break it down. If you did $84 a month for 12 months, that'd be like $189. If you did $21 a week for 52 weeks, that's like $1,092. You know, so what I said, $1,008. So, you can give it if you want to. Don't start making excuses. Well, Brother Ford, my income. No. God's your source. See, what you just tried to do, you just tried to earn the money. I ain't told you to earn nothing. Believe God. This is the challenge he gave me. He told me to tell you to believe God and sow it over and above. Do not diminish your current tithes and offerings. Sow it over and above. And Brother Stephen, Brother Jerry chipped out. I want you to talk to Brother Jerry and start our actual separate storehouse account and put it in there. So that way when you give it, you write storehouse on the envelope. They know exactly what this is. When you're sowing it, write storehouse on there. Hallelujah. And watch God change the momentum and the velocity with which this ministry does things that it's going to do with your participation. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you know me, I was going to double it. But God told me to tell the entrepreneurs that were members here to sow 1,200. 1,200 each year, over and above what you're already giving. They ain't got nothing to do with other projects, Brother Jerry, bring up. You keep committed. But if you put your faith out, you're going to watch God bring it to you. Now, entrepreneurs, even if you're not a member here and you got a legitimate business, you sitting around dreaming about a business. How long you been dreaming? No, I'm just... me, come on. I want you to come to the altar now. The entrepreneurs. I'm going to pray. Y'all moving like y'all don't know if y'all entrepreneurs or not. Praise the Lord. You either in business or you ain't. Thank you, Jesus. What y'all do? Praise the Lord. What you do? you're all a person. Okay, I know what y'all do. What you do? A dog trainer. Let me lay hands on you first. No, I'm serious. I'm going to lay hands on you first. Because we got a whole spectrum. We got real estate and construction on this side. What you do? So we stand with the real estate. Stand with the real estate. And what you say you do? General contractor. That's you. Go stand by my brother right there. He's a general contractor too. Amen. Then we got truckers and oil people. Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Before I lay hands on them, let me tell you this. In our prayer group a couple of months back, the Lord spoke to me and said he was giving entrepreneur favor and economic authority. And so I want you to take this faith and believe God and exercise your authority to bring in the things, the jobs, the opportunities, the contracts that God has put before you, spoken to you. From this day forward, don't ever tell yourself you're too small to take that contract. Because you can be like the post office. You can do some seasonal hiring. Just hire them to that contract done, let them go. Folks looking for work every day, they'd be glad to do it. And see, when you do that, you wind up hiring the best. Folks that you think you can't afford to hire can work for you, and you can watch God elevate you. Father, in Jesus' name, let her name ring so in dog training that she will have to turn down dogs. That she will have to hire and train other folks. Let her, God, have the entrepreneurial favor flowing. So strong in her life that they'll come from seven counties around. God, let her favor be so strong, they'll wait till she can get to their dog. Yeah, she won't lose business because she got business, but the favor of God will sustain her business. God, let her know what it's like to be booked up for 36 months and have to choose when to take a vacation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, thank you for the man of God. Thank you that his concrete business will go out the roof, God. I thank you that not only that, but he'll have people that's wise and sharp and submitted. And every job he does will be a signature job in Jesus' name. I commend entrepreneur favor upon his life and business and economic authority to rise up in his spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, I decree entrepreneurial favor and economic authority to rise mighty in his life and ministry. In Jesus' mighty name, God, I thank you for economic authority and entrepreneurial favor at a level he ain't never saw it before. In Jesus' name, glory be to God. Lord, step up. God, I command entrepreneurial favor upon her and economic authority like she's never known in her life. Are you a broker or agent? Praise the Lord. I wanted to say that before I said what I was going to say. God, draw agents into her pathway to handle the favor that you are about to show her, and let her know in her spirit when the season is to incorporate them in Jesus' name. God, in the name of Jesus, I command entrepreneurial favor upon her. God, let her entrepreneurial favor be so strong, not only will she draw agents, but she'll raise up other brokers. In the name of Jesus, use her. And I commission her to have economic authority in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for entrepreneurial favor and economic authority rising up on this man of God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And God, I thank you for contracts and you and God, I thank you that it'll be to the Hachimi and the Robobo Shiata. He won't have to do it all himself. God, no, Jesus, I see a franchise anointing. Glory be to God. Lord, I thank you that such an entrepreneurial favor will be upon him and he'll break out, God. Several counties, oh God, franchising and business will not diminish. It will consistently increase in Jesus' name.
God, I thank you for entrepreneurial favor and economic authority rising up in his spirit and flowing out in his favor. In Jesus' name, glory be to God. Lord, I thank you that you give him favor in the trucking industry like he ain't never known before. Give me this hand y'all got together. God, give him favor in the trucking industry like they ain't never known before. God, give him the contracts that he want, that he'll be able to retire when he want to retire. But God, he won't just have a truck. He can have a truck line. He can have workers. He can have trucks, God. He can contract drivers in his trucks. He oversee what they do. In the name of Jesus, I command entrepreneur favor and economic authority to break forth in their lives in Jesus' name. God, I praise and magnify you for entrepreneur favor and economic authority rising up in their spirit from this very day in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Go in peace.